Our scripture reading this morning is found in chapter 13 of the Gospel of St. John, verses 1 to 10. John chapter 13, verses 1 to 10. And we'll focus on verse 7, but we'll first read the whole verses in chapter 13, verse 1 to 10. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded around himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and said, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Or in other words, Peter is asking, why are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. This is a mystery to them, particularly the disciples involved in being washed of their feet. And Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. Because Judas is going to deflect his loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will never be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ again, because he's going to sell 30 pieces of silver for the arrest of our Lord Jesus Christ in the ensuing turn of events after this. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you will anoint my mouth, oh Lord, and everyone's mind, so that, Lord, you'll be the one being seen speaking your words that can transform our lives, that can save our soul, that can draw us to your grace from glory to glory in the face of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, of our sin. Thank you for thy precious blood that can wash away our sins. Please hide me behind thy cross so that it's not me that is speaking, O Lord. May they see the reality of your presence. In your presence, O Lord, grant us the inspiration to listen attentively and be teachable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the verse that we were looking this morning is verse 7. Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." In the King James Version, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, these are the words spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ to Peter when Peter expressed great concern that the Lord should wash his feet. However, this is a mystery that the disciples cannot understand. That's why he said, "What I do, or what I'm doing now, you do not understand, but you will know, or you will understand later." This text has an immediate relevant application to our day today, to our individual lives today, because it concerns a lot of mysteries, particularly this text that Peter asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Why are you washing my feet?" He didn't understand. But the Lord Jesus echoed, "Peter, what I'm doing now, you don't understand, but later the truth will be revealed to you." So, broadly speaking, life in general for all of us is filled with two kinds of experiences. Life in general consists of two kinds of experiences: the pleasant and the painful. No one is immune on this. No one who lives, whether you're a baby or you're an adult, whether you're a boy or a girl, life consists of painful experiences and pleasant ones. Later, don't ask me the reason why, but let the Word of God speak to you as we move on. We are not worried by the pleasant things or the happiness that life brings to us. We are not worried about that. Any pleasant thing that happens to us, because our faith is tested by this experience. We are not worried when things are pleasant or happiness we enjoy in life. Of course, we would not like life to consist only of pleasant things. But I would say we in general would like life to be pleasant all the time. Always there is a sunshine before us without any shadow or clouds. Sooner or later, however, the shadows and the clouds, which are represented in the shadows and clouds, the pain, the painful experience that will come, and the experience will cross our pathway. In other words, God allows them to happen. And then when the pain or trials and tribulation that God allows in our lives, we become a bit disturbed. Depending upon our reaction, how deep we are disturbed, and our faith is tested, and sometimes it wavers, it moves up and down, trusting and then doubting. And we even find ourselves asking, "Why? Why has these things happened to me? Isn't that true, children?" You always ask your parents, "Why you always limit me to do this? Why you always tell me no?" Why I cannot do my own will? Why I cannot decide, mom and dad? Why? Is it not only you boys and girls that do this? It is also the adult. This constant question, why this thing happened to me? Don't worry about the answer, what the answer at the moment. God's word will tell you. Let's move on. Then if we are not careful in asking this question, why and why, we become bitter and go around the circles asking, if God loves me, why has these things happened to me? Isn't that what you're asking? You and I ask that question as well. It could happen after we worship now. Why? Watch yourself. How many questions, or you parents, watch children? How many times they ask the question, why? Let's move on. This is the other comments that children, boys and girls, adults, male and female, this is what they constantly ask. If God cares, if he cares for me, why has he allowed these things to happen in my life? And worst of all, we may even get to the place where we ask, does he still love me? Does God still care for me? Oh God, why you allow my mother to die? My father or my grandfather lost their life? Why you allow my classmate to meet an accident? And so on and so forth. When the question always arises, why, when we don't understand what things are happening in our midst. Children, adults, including myself, there are a lot of things that we cannot give explanation to what is happening in our lives. But God, according to his word, right now you don't understand, Peter. And every one of us is represented by Peter. But later on, the Lord Jesus said, you will understand. Let's move on. What the Lord Jesus would like Peter to understand later on. The question why, that echoes not only from Peter, but to every one of us, you, including you boys and girls, and we adults, does he still love me? Oh God, do you still love me? Do you really care for me, despite my many failures and sin? Well, I once heard it said that when the Lord speaks to us about his will for our lives, there are several questions we should ask. For example, we should always ask, what? As Saul of Tarsus, who became the great apostle Paul, did ask, what? At the time of his conversion, when he asked, what shall I do, Lord? In Acts 22, verse 10. What shall I do, Lord? Because we need to know what to do when we are confronted with the question, what is the meaning of this, Lord? And we need immediate question, answer to this question. We should also ask, where? Because we need direction. Where would I go beyond this, O Lord? Where will I go beyond this problem and trials and difficulties? Where will I go from here? Lord, I need direction. We should ask also, how? How, Lord, will I live my life? Because we need practical guidance about the will of God. And we should ask also, when, Lord, do you want me to proceed from here? The reason we ask this question is because time factor is an element of life that we, every event of our lives we enter into is a time factor. That when are we going to start doing sensible things? Despite your parents says, don't do this, don't do that. And yet we do it. When are you going to start the right thing? Boys and girls, me as well. When am I going to do the right thing as husband and wife? As husband to my wife and as father to my children? What am I going to do? When am I going to do to start the right thing to encourage them? When will I proceed from here? Where will I proceed from here? From my past mistakes and failures. Those are very, very important issues and questions that we should answer. I cannot give you the right answer right now, but let the Word of God proceed. Let's face it. Let's be honest with each other, boys and girls, you and me as adults. Let's face it. We do often ask why and when we are confused and can understand God's purposes and dealings with us. He says to us, Peter, that represents all of us, you do not realize now what I'm doing. You don't understand now what I'm doing. But later, you will understand. In other words, God, boys and girls, comes to us, adults, God comes to us and move closer to us and says, it's quite all right, boys and girls. It's quite all right, you adults, at this moment. You don't understand now, but you will later on. And in the meantime, what you need to do is what I want you to do. Is just to trust me. Trust me in all that I allow things, trials, persecutions, and happiness as well. Just trust me. And that's the answer, boys and girls, adults, you and me. When we don't understand, God is saying to us, be patient. I will let you understand later on. It becomes clearer, clearer as you trust me. Let's move on what God means by this. The story is told of a Christian. The story is told of a Christian minister who was called to the scene of a national disaster. It could be an earthquake. It could be a flood. Well, as he picked up his way through the rubble, someone placed in his hand a piece of unfinished tapestry. You know what a tapestry is? I saw one when we went to France and Cannes. We traveled in a building full of history about the building of the Tower of London, Tower Hill, the Queen's Tower, just in front of the Tower Station, Tower Hill Station. This is a cloth that starts from one room to the other. There's a continuation. And it starts from the history one, event one, up to the event at the end, which summarizes the whole thing, the whole history, how the Tower of London was built by King Canute. I don't know, many hundreds, more than a thousand of years ago. The King of Canute of France built that tower. Well, you can research that later. Now, this tapestry or summary of an history of an event or history was presented to him. And the minister held up his hand with this, could be a roll of this tapestry, and he held his hands up so that the distraught people could see only the tangled ends of that tapestry. Could be a cloth. He held this over, and they saw the beautifully worked message at the end, which says, God is love. Now, this story illustrates the meaning of our text. In verse 7, what I do now, you don't understand, but later you will understand. Now, the text contains, this verse 7 contains three truths that I would like to for you to understand and remember. The first one is that the Lord is doing something in your life and my life, boys and girls and adults. Every one of us is children. The Lord is doing something great. We may probably not see it as great because it may be small things at the moment. Things that you don't understand, but it will be revealed later and we will understand. What did Jesus say? What I'm doing, you don't understand. You see, the Lord is active and is at work when he says this. He is active in talking to his disciples and to the people who hears him preach this. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8:28 tells us this, and it's very helpful when reading that verse, to place the emphasis on the word works. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That's verse 28. Notice that the worker here is not Paul. God is the one working in this verse. And Paul is emphasizing it in that word. God works all things together for good. And God is at work. And he's doing something in your life, boys and girls, and you adults and I. He's doing things slowly. It can never be faster. It should be slowly so that we will understand. There is a divine activity going on in your life, boys and girls, including you and me adults. There's something divine in every event. It's not just an ordinary thing that happens in our lives. There's always God involved in every event of our lives. When Paul wrote the church at Philippi, he said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And when he wrote to the Christian at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he said this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Notice, the meaning of this is that every event, God already knows his plan, but we don't understand. It may be painful, it could be joyous, but more often it could be a slow process to humble us before God, to understand. But we as humans would like to, as you boys and girls, would like to always ask the question why, with an easy answer from your parents. Why? But God has a purpose. Boys and girls, adults, there is a purpose for every event in our lives. For we are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepares in advance for us to do. According to plan, notice that what God is doing in your life, in verse 7 of of John chapter 13, what God is doing in your life and mine is according to a plan. Even a building like this, a church, has a plan. They did not just, put bricks, layers after layers after layers. They have a work plan. There is a drawing. In other words, if an architect will just build something through his workers, any idea that comes out to their brain, it won't go to any direction. There must be a plan. And God has a plan for your life, each one of us. There's nothing haphazard or uncertain about God. He has a plan for the life of each one of us. What does Psalm 138 verse 8 tells us? The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. That's Psalm 138 verse 8. And Psalm 37 verse 23, it says, God assures us that if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Did you hear that? If God is delighted in our way, in a man's way, he makes our life firm. In other words, if God is not delighted in us, there is going to be a treacherous pathway along the horizons of your life. That's why we ask boys and girls, why? Because the moment your mom and dad say, don't do that, don't do this, it's for your good, you always do the opposite. And that's why our life is sometimes very confusing and we don't obey. And we ask the question all the time, why? And that takes a lot of trouble for you and me if we don't trust God. So that when God is happy or delighted in our ways, it makes our steps firm. That includes the husband and wife, also the children. When God is delighted in us, he makes the straight path for us to go through. But when we disobey and does not trust him, it becomes crooked. And that's the confusion lies. How wonderful it is when God is delighted in us. How wonderful that prospect can be. God has a master plan of our lives and is working to them. It is also necessary to notice that all that he's doing is according to the love of God, according to his loving kindness, because God's nature is love. But he's also a God who can judge as well. But his overriding character is love. And therefore, it is for our good when he allows things that we don't understand. He tells us, in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. And that love is operating every second, every moment, every minute, every hour, every day of the week, without stop, 24 hours a day. He loves us with an everlasting love. And I've drawn you with loving kindness. In other words, God's love is operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 24/7. He is silently planning for you in love. Let's be patient. Because he loves us so much, he's causing all things to work together for good. That word works has been translated causing. That's a better interpretation. He does not only works, but he causes all things. In other words, there is a very good purpose. Every negative thing that is, or doubt that is arising when we don't understand to everyday events, God is causing it for our good. Remember that. We may not understand it, but God will reveal the truth later. He cares for us and he loves us, that he has permitted every event of our lives for your good, for my good. But you may say, but that takes faith, isn't it? Of course it does. Yes, it does take faith, but when we trust God and obey him, that is the life of faith. That's the only way we could live this Christian life, our pilgrim. It takes faith. And we must quickly put that in our consciousness. Because our life in the Lord now is faith. take to heart this truth right now, which is God never make mistakes. He's perfect in his minute, detailed plan for your life and my life. He's perfect. He executes them at the precise moment in which he will fulfill them. He who began a good work in you will fulfill it in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how long it takes at that time frame of our mind, but in God's time, 1,000 years is like a day in the eyes of God. But 1,000 years is too long for us, isn't it? Who had lived more than 100 years? Only Metasola, I think, lived for more than 900 years. Noah. Other characters of the Bible lived more than 100 years. But God has limited our lifespan because of our sin. And he cannot prolong life if we will continue to harden our hearts before him. That's why God demonstrated his love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. And God, in initiating our salvation, he does not make mistake. He executed at the right time when we needed that, for that God sent his beloved son. He demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. Do you believe that, boys and girls? How could God possibly make a mistake in executing his salvation for you? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died already for our sin. At the moment, we don't understand. We should realize later his plan. You may say, yes, we know that God loves us, and that he is at work in our lives, and that he is working to a plan. We know that he will never make a mistake, and that he is training us and conforming us to his likeness, or to the likeness of Christ. But having said all this, we have to admit that there is still a mystery about his dealings with us. We don't really understand why the Lord Jesus washed Peter's feet and the rest of his disciples. We don't really understand that he's doing this. But we will understand. Sometimes we can say, I see why the Lord allowed that things to happen. But we cannot by any means always say this. That's why the constant question, why, boys and girls? Why, adults? Why? Well, you're familiar with the old hymns that says, God moves in a mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. God moves in a mysterious ways. And his wonders to perform. All these events leads us to our third truth. One day, everything will be made clear, and we'll be glad about all these trials and mysteries that we have known here on earth. This earthly pilgrimage is a preparation for heaven. We are being prepared. That's why Jesus said, later on, you will understand, Peter. Then he will explain the reason why. We will no longer look back at the tangled ends of our lives, the tapestry of our lives. We will only see the word, God is love, and his perfect and completed pattern for our lives is expressed that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we see, but a poor reflection, as in a mirror, that a And then we will see face to face. Now I know, according to 1 Corinthians 13, 12, now I know in part, then I shall know full, even as I am fully known. Then we will understand. But in the meantime, what should we do when we don't understand? Let me tell you what. We are simply to trust Him and obey Him. That's it. That famous hymn, trust and obey. There's no other way but to trust and obey. Trust Jesus, boys and girls, you adults, including me. Are you struggling with enormous problems at the moment? Of course, the answer is answerable by yes. We don't have to talk about them at the moment, but God knows and is aware of them every moment of our lives. Boys and girls, we are called to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and tell Him that you have absolute faith in what He's doing in your life. And tell Him the reason why you're asking that question. He wants you to know Him as your Lord and Savior through His beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell Him that by His grace you are now going to trust and depend on Him completely, relying on His unfailing love and His ability to transform all the sadness, all the disappointments, all the trials and difficulties that we don't understand. He is able to complete them, relying on His unfailing love and His skill. Don't forget that. When we don't understand, just trust Him and obey Him. Allow this truth. Let us let this truth come into the consciousness of our being, that Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, has a plan which is perfect, that He never makes a mistake, and that He is the Lord. When you acknowledge His sovereignty in your life, then you are in the place where God allows you to be, to trust Him and obey Him. And surely this is the place of blessing, true faith and victory. Boys and girls, it's not too young for you to be saved. If you want to trust Him because of the clear understanding that God wants you to be His adopted children, we can say to Him, Lord, at the right time, I want to trust You. I want to completely surrender my soul to You when the right time comes. It may be today. It may be next Sunday. But don't let it too late, because He's looking forward to saving your soul. Okay? I cannot make it for you. You have to decide. God is already calling you. Come unto Me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give rest to your soul. For My yoke is light. Learn of Me. See, God is not promising to remove all our burden. He makes us to trust Him. He makes us to obey Him and completely allow ourselves to trust His ability to meet all our needs. And finally, Jesus Christ is saying to you, you do not realize now what I'm doing, Peter. What I'm doing to you, boys and girls, everyone here, adults, including you and me, but later you will understand. That's true. Someday we will understand. May God bless us with His promise. Amen.